The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome, everyone, to the 38th episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. My name is Dylan, and all I do is introduce people. So here we go. Across the pond, we have the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Here we go.
Rolling start. And then the stupid awesome analyst, John.
Here we go.
Over there, as well as, the king baby duck of the Boston Bastard Brigade, Evan.
Go we are.
Those weren't even the same words.
And returning once again is the Uncommon Writer, Sean.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean. Hey.
Sean, you haven't been on here since our last homework episode.
That's true, because I only do homework.
We are good cherubs and we do our homework.
Nerd. Heard that, kid. Send your homework to Sean at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com.
No, it's just because I like watching... like binge watching one show at a time and then just talking about it.
Yeah. And so if you guys haven't been paying attention for the past 4 weeks now that after this recording is done, today our homework is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. No, just kidding. It's Kill la Kill.
Yeah, you're damn right it is. Though, one of those is infinitely better than the other one.
Well,
it's fighting words.
Which one is it? Cause okay. I think that, we have already selected our next episode of Homowaku. Everybody start watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure now. It's all free on Crunchyroll except for Stardust Crusaders, which started yesterday from this recording. So episode one should at least be free now on Crunchyroll.
You know what? They'll actually forgive you if you pause the show right now and start watching it and then come back to the episode later.
Agreed. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're not going to pause, though. We're going to keep going.
Welcome back!
That JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I'll stick with it.
Though the premiere of Stardust Crusaders was amazing. The freaking bomb.
Yeah.
It was just as good as I was hoping for, and I'm probably not going to watch any other anime this season.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, we have some news to go over so we can get to reviewing our homework. So time to ring the news bell. Ding, ding. Ding. News.
Yeah, there we go.
We still do that thing.
Yeah, apparently.
So first up in media news, there has been an announcement that there's going to be a new Lupin the Third spin-off anime film.
Really?
Yeah, and it's actually going to be directed by Takashi Koike, who directed Redline. Now, see, he was the animation director on The Woman Called Fujiko Mine. The actual director of... a woman called Fujiko Mine is Sayo Yamamoto.
Right, the director of Michiko Tell Hachiken.
Right, yeah. And so the movie is going to be called Lupin the Third's Daisuke Jigen's Gravestone. It's going to be a spin-off series based on Jigen.
Is it made by the same people who did that last Lupin the Third series?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We only know the director right now. It was announced that Takashi Koike was the director.
Gotcha.
Which is awesome because, you know, he's a great director. It's going to be...
He's basically Michael Bay of the anime world.
According to Sean.
Only he's got talent.
Yeah, except...
Whoa, Michael Bay has talent. You're going to set me off.
Really?
Have you seen the new trailer for the Ninja Turtles movie?
Hold on. Yes, wait.
Whoa, let it go.
Stop.
Let's get into it.
Everybody stop. Michael Bay is only a producer of Ninja Turtles, even though it is called Michael Bay's Ninja Turtles. And yes, Evan, we should have warned you ahead of time that Sean is a Michael Bay fan, but we love him anyway.
Pain and Gain sucked.
If I could punch
you through the internet, I would.
Anyways, you bring up a good point that everybody should check out Hard Truths with Doug, which was on Nerdy Show this past couple weeks. It's on the new TMNT movie.
Now, however, it is the older information on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, well, not with like, the new stuff that they learned.
No, it is. It's all about the new movie that's coming out and who should be the best director for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I won't spoil anything as to who Doug thinks should be the best director. He picks the top five, which every single one is a great one, but the number one...
Wes Anderson.
He went to an awesome one.
You know, I actually watched it.
Such a weird Ninja Turtles movie.
I agree with him completely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have any of you ever read the screenplay that leaked of the Ninja Turtles movie, the new one?
Yes.
I got three pages of it.
Yeah, I got about three pages in, too.
I know exactly the line where I stopped because I couldn't take it anymore.
And
I warned you that there's going to be some foul language because it's verbatim. This is what it says. It says, and I quote, Casey Jones, I fucks him.
Wow.
I was like, I give up. That's it. I can't watch. I can't read this anymore.
By him, it's referring to your childhood.
Okay. Next up in media news.
So, Lupin the Third.
Yeah. Next up in media news, Space Dandy Season 2 has been slated for July in Japan. So that's an interesting
Still haven't finished Space Dandy from this season.
They already announced it will be simulcasting on Adult Swim as well.
It will be. Okay, good.
The last episode mentions it.
Oh, wow.
So the first season finished?
I haven't seen any of it yet. Was it good?
Yeah, it's really good, actually, Sean. You should check it out. If you like kind of like a Cowboy Bebop-esque comedy...
It's really interesting the way they do it because not a single episode is connected to one another, so it's in the format like they were planning on releasing it on Adult Swim.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out. I just haven't seen it yet.
It's really fun. It's like a really fun show to watch, but I haven't seen it since episode... They finish off really well, like 7. I think that was the last episode I watched. Yeah.
You need to see the race episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did see that one because it was basically Redline. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the ongoing joke that was like, it's time for my last resort, and he just keeps having last resorts.
Well, I like the fact that the bad guy, Dr. Gel, jumps in into the race, and then he like passes Dandy. Like, he's trying to catch Dandy, but he passes him, and he's like, yeah, we passed Dandy!
We're gonna win.
Yeah, it's really cleverly written. Still has that Western feel to it. You know, like the director always uses it.
I would like to pick some writer's brains on that.
Yeah,
for sure, if we ever got the chance.
So yeah, Sean, definitely check it out if you haven't seen it yet.
All right. Well, you should have went and chatted with Dai Sato at Anime Boston.
I know. I had questions for him, but I was tired and we had no more memory cards left.
I was just tired.
It was Sunday.
Okay, so next up in media news, from our fan Mike, he sent us a piece of news announcing that, well, this has already been announced that Sword Art Online 2 is going to have a second season. In July.
Yeah, that was...
Next to Space.
Yeah, we talked about that on a couple episodes ago where the sniper with the blue hair showed up. Whoa. And that's like all it showed.
Wait. Hold on. So Sword Art Online 2, there's a second series?
Yeah.
You don't listen to this show, Sean?
Hell no. It's
yeah, and it's going to be... They're taking it away from fantasy and adding combat. Right. Like, it's going to guns.
Yeah. Okay, I got... The new piece of information that has come out is that there's an actual synopsis for the show now instead of just that teaser that we got when we first talked about it.
Yeah.
The synopsis is Kirito starts playing a new game made by an American company called Zakar. The game is called Gun Gale Online and uses guns and magic for combat. That's all.
So it's basically... Shadowrun.
My god, this sounds exactly like what I wanted the first one to be. Except the first one was awesome. And I was okay with it. So, like, this is just it, like, dialed to 11.
Yeah, and now the thing of it is, Kirito hasn't been scared off video games forever now, really. Like, I think I would be. I think there would be something psychologically wrong with me.
I still haven't seen the show ever, so...
But even
he's just addicted to this
Is it going to be one of those situations where he goes to the game and then it turns out it's going to be like the first season where the game has to be completed? And
I don't know. Stuck in like, or the guns actually kill people. I don't know. That's just it. It's like
Kirito's going to be like, damn it, not again.
Don't you read the back of the box, Kirito, before you buy it?
What if you this whole die? Time it turns out he's been in the game?
Oh!
Whoa. It's like the Matrix.
Yeah. Are they going to bring up his sister again? Because that was weird.
I thought it was his cousin.
I don't know, but they haven't even brought up Asuna.
They haven't even brought up the supporting cast.
Well, no, the supporting cast is the girl with the blue hair. She's the new supporting character, and Asuna is not mentioned at all yet.
That would be super annoying if they have, like, this canon character that has everything to do with the show, and then it's just like, oh, sorry, he's gone.
Yeah, because it's not like he hasn't been fighting for 2 seasons to get her.
Yeah. It would be like Bakugan.
I forgot our last conversation about this, but do we know which director is doing the second, or this art, Sword Art Online 2?
No, I don't know that.
Is it the incest one or the regular one?
It might be out there, but I don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that show was amazing, especially for a show that could be described as incesty during parts of it. It was
I don't know,
weird.
Dylan, you had different opinions about it, right?
Well, the second season. I like the first season a lot.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what we're always
don't
hearing.
Get me wrong. The first season was hands down the best season. It just, it had suspense.
Which is on Netflix now for those who haven't seen it. Just the first season, so that's all you need.
Yeah.
The second season's not bad, but you just need to accept that it's going to get weird.
Yeah. I'll accept. I can accept that. I've been watching anime long enough to know where
I was about to say, you're off the deep end, though.
I like that. So next up in media news, we actually have, to finish off media news, we have pieces of Kill la Kill news, seeing I found that those being appropriate.
They announced that the Blu-ray of Kill la Kill will have a 25th episode.
Why?
Yeah, and a lot of people are hoping for an afterwards, at least from what I've been reading, because they haven't said what it is. They probably won't tell us what it is until the episode is actually released.
Each episode.
So I did
read that it is supposed to be like a graduation sort of episode where, you know, all the characters are going to be graduating from the high school.
Interesting. Because, we're obviously going to get into more of this, yeah, in a moment. So we'll mention the ending and stuff like that. Yeah, spoilers.
Are they going to get into the Kill la Kill college years after that?
That would be God, sweet.
I hope so. This world is hilarious.
It's like Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
All right, real quick. Last piece of media news. For a limited time, by the time this episode comes out, the event will be over. But the Cure Maid Cafe in the Akihabara will be Kill la Kill themed. They will be serving mystery meat, mankan and choco, croquet.
Yeah, the croquette. Thing.
And 1-star and 3-star cakes.
Booking my trip to Japan right now.
Yeah.
You only got like a couple days to make it.
Damn it.
I would like the mystery meat ones, croquets would probably be pretty funny.
Yeah, well, apparently they really are like supposed to be a mystery. Like they just have like a whole bunch of meats jammed together. From the show, they have like little squid tentacles like poking out from the sides.
They have like
stuff
a little
like, that.
Bone, like chicken bones coming out of
yeah.
them too.
Yeah, I just looked up the website. It's crazy.
Yeah, the event's over, so you fans can't enjoy it anyways.
You can just find it interesting.
All right, so real quick, that's it for media news. And all we have left is one piece of strange news.
Yay, strange news.
One piece.
So, so if you recall on the last episode, or no, it was a couple episodes ago, we talked about the Asian fast food chain Lotteria. They had their Titan Burger specials, the 10-meter specials, and
10-meter tall, as you said.
That it said 10-meter tall, I just didn't add in the detail that that's only what it was called, not the actual size. Okay,
that's all.
So now they've actually added on to that promotion, and participating restaurants introduce the Super Size Sasha the Potato Girl set. And what you get is a tub of French fries that adds on to the burger.
That you get. Define tub. Are we just talking like tiny tub?
Define
add
on. Adds on.
It doesn't say exactly the size of it. That was actually the problem with the article that I read. It didn't have any portion sizes or anything like that. It was just an ass load of French fries.
Yeah, the portion size was tub.
I'm gonna take a bath in these French fries.
Ooh, that sounds greasy and wrong.
What you get with the promotion as well is there are like some pin sets that you can get with it. So there's like different pins for the different guards.
The tub. Oh,
what?
I'm getting an ad now. The tub just looks like a KFC bucket.
Oh.
That's a lot of French fries, though.
That's a lot of French fries, but it's not a tub. It's a bucket. I mean.
All right, and that's it for Strange News.
Made it.
Yeah, that wasn't as strange. It's strange out of all the food, but.
So, because we are doing a homework episode, we are skipping what we're watching and the Tapagotchi, and we are just going to be talking about Kill la Kill now. Yeah!
Yay, Kill la Kill. Yay!
So, I don't think we need to go into much detail on what we all thought of the show.
Yeah, but we do have to mention that this is the portion where if you haven't watched Kill la Kill and you haven't done your homework yet, stop it, because we're about to spoil the whole thing. And I don't care if you're one of those people who's like, I don't care about spoilers! Come on. Like, care about spoilers. It's a story, people.
A very beautiful story.
Okay, very beautiful. So, would anybody here not give it a really good score out of 10? Like, I would probably give it like an 8 or 9, like 8.5 out of 10.
4 stars.
Yeah,
I'm actually one of those guys that, like, as soon as the end credits rolled to the final episodes, I just imagined like a 15-minute standing ovation in my brain in some, like, awards theater of sorts.
You know why? 10 out of 10 for you.
You know why? It's because it gave you everything you wanted every time.
Exactly!
Yeah, it wasn't one of those animes that it's like, no, we're going to hold back and we're just going to tease you for the next season or whatever. It was like, nope, we're going to crank the shit to 11 every time. Every time you don't think it could get better, we're going to make it better.
Yeah, there was definitely, I'll agree with you there. For the show, there was definitely no point where there was a downward slope. It was always just an upward escalation of crazy-ass action.
And I'm actually happy that, like, Studio Trigger didn't pull a Gainax at the end and be like, oh, screw you, there's going to be a second season that's not going to happen, like with Penny and Stalking.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, that was Hiroyuki Imashi's show.
Right.
As well. I mean, like, that's kind of his fault, right?
Well, no, because he left Gainax because he didn't like how things were going in there, so...
Ah. Yeah, I personally, I really, really loved Kill la Kill because I'm just a Studio Trigger crazy person. I love Studio Trigger now, I'm forever.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I have been since Inferno Cup. Really.
Honestly. Yeah.
It seemed like everybody was kind of just been like, oh man, it's getting so much better. Me personally, I felt like it stayed just good the whole way through. I didn't feel like it escalated at all. It never really excited me to like the ending wasn't like, oh, that was so like grand, like so much better. I just liked it, you know? I just thought it was great.
I completely agree with you. I don't believe it was like an ending that was like mind blowing. What I think it was it gave you... It was always exactly what you wanted from the anime. Like, you have these cool-ass characters, and they treated them like cool-ass characters.
Yeah.
They ignored all the fluff, they ignored all the bullshit, and they were just always like, well, here, we'll just skip to the fight. How's that? Everybody okay with that?
It was just, you know, it was just... They gave you total satisfaction.
Now, Dylan, I actually kind of want to know what you thought, because you didn't... You ended it, but you didn't see the whole thing.
No, I found it in some parts to be similar to the criticism that people give Dragon Ball Z, to where a lot of it just, the fights kind of seemed the same to me at a certain point. I really enjoyed the first couple episodes, but then after that, a lot of it seemed really repetitive to me. I still enjoyed it, but I wasn't as invested as you guys were, clearly.
Well, to me, Dylan, I'm kind of in the middle of all you guys, like where... Nothing to me, the best episode of Kill la Kill was still episode 1. Episode 1 of Kill la Kill was the best thing I have ever seen as far as anime goes. Like, I was just like, this, like, to me, this is an anime. Like, this is excellent.
Okay, let's go on that. What was everybody's favorite point in Kill la Kill? What, like, your favorite episode, even?
Because I think mine was 12. The episode where, spoilers, Sengetsu, like, completely absorbs Ryuko for the first time, and, like, she turns into that green monster life fiber thing. That was my favorite episode.
That was pretty awesome. Cause, well, because that was also where they introduced Nui.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. And yeah, because Nuria.
Really? She was awesome.
She was probably my favorite villain.
Yeah.
No, that's what I meant. I mean, like, she was just so easy to not like.
Yeah. Let's talk about characters. Yeah, let's talk about characters in a second.
So I think my favorite episode was, I don't remember the number, you'll have to forgive me, the episode where her friend, Manchuko, what was her first name?
Mako. Yeah, Mako.
Mako,
yeah.
That's right. Mako, as the fight club captain, has to fight her, and you're just like, what?
That was a great episode.
Yeah. I think that might be mine, too.
Because it was internal conflict. It didn't do anything for the resolution of the story. It was only... like, strictly for, like, developing Mako's and Ryoko's relationship. That was all of that, you know?
Mm. And that was also what I liked was, as you mentioned before, Sean, there wasn't a lot of fluff in the show. Where, you know, as far as animes go, they're, like, almost every single anime you watch has, like, oh, look at this, like, underlying love story. But, like, this story was all about friendship. Like, and you don't see that too often as far as... anime goes. Like, there was always, like, it was always like, now we are all friends, the end.
Yeah.
Except for Gamagori, but we'll get to that. Because that was like my favorite thing about the ending.
Oh,
first
Gamagori was hilarious.
Oh, he's my favorite. We'll get to that. Yeah. First off, Evan, what was your favorite episode?
Well, because he took my favorite episode, episode 7, because it wasn't just for the, battle between Ryoko and Mako, but I also just liked how, like, how they went up the ranks with that club, just beating the crap out of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Mako just becoming richer and richer and richer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have to say, probably, I believe it was episode 22, where Mako got back the two-starred suit.
Yeah.
And just showing how much of a badass Mako really is. Yeah. When she really pushes herself.
It's too bad 42 Believer isn't on this episode. She would, She hated Mako. She did not like Mako as a kid.
People can hate her.
I mean, she was literally designed to be adorable.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so now that we've finished that, let's get on to the characters then. I guess we can start with Mako, seeing that we're talking about her.
Yeah.
She had my favorite introduction of a character ever, where Ryoko sits down in the class for the first time, and then Mako puts up her book, eats her lunch, and then falls asleep.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, I saw that, and it just killed me. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, and it just completely summed up her character, too.
Yeah.
Where so many times she's either falling asleep or eating something.
I just loved all of her little cuts, where she's just, like, just talking. Talking.
Her moments of hyperbole.
Yeah.
That's,
and she, like, wins the day with them.
Did any of you watch, because I sent this to Andrew and Jonathan, did any of you ever watch, Dororon Enmakun, or I forget what it's called in English, but it's a Gonagai anime, and a lot of the characters in this specific anime have similar characteristics of what builds the character of Mako in Kill la Kill.
Yeah, did they ever correlate that show with Mako, like, as far as, like, saying, yes, this is her inspiration?
Not really, but you could.
No.
But if you ever watch Enmakun and then see the character Mako, you'll be like, oh yeah, this is where they got the idea for her.
Yeah, it's in my my Crunchyroll queue. Yeah, it's around Crunchyroll. I'll put a link in the description.
Oh, or how about the what were they, the Elite Four, the frickin',
yeah, okay,
Devas or whatever,
the four Devas.
Yeah, yes. Let's, okay, you first off in that group, let's talk about Gamagori.
Yeah.
Whose favorite character wasn't Gamagori? I'm just gonna ask that, because,
oh, I enjoyed him, but I really like the sword guy just immensely.
The bamboo stick dude. Kamina? Yes,
the bamboo stick.
The head of the sports clubs.
Yeah.
No. I will say I liked Jakuzure.
Was he the
Nonon?
It was the woman. It was the one with, like, the musical weapons.
Yeah, Nonon.
Oh, yeah, Nonon. Yeah, Nonon. Yeah, that's how I know her, so.
Yeah, she was adorable.
Yeah, she was cute, but still, like, another really good introduction was Gamaguri. Like, because he was the first person you saw in the episode where, like, where he, like, squeezes through the door, and then that kid runs away from him, and he just jumps off the top of the school.
Chases him down.
Yeah, like, as he's running down the stairs, you just see him falling toward down
he's
the
laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That, like, from that instant, I was just like, I have fallen in love with Kill la Kill.
Yeah.
Like, just the best anime.
And his quantum state size thing where he could just be whatever size he wants.
Yeah. That was so funny how he just... You can tell that they were like, okay, now he's the... Like, in the storyboards, now he's this size, now he's this size. Oh, what? We don't care.
Yeah.
Like...
Which episode was it? It was, like, right before the Naturals election, where you just see the Elite Four just walking away from from the campus, and they're just throwing random punches and just making everybody fly away. And there's Gamaguri just, like, lifts his, like, fists up, like, every couple seconds and just sees that a guy, like...
It was always really funny, too, because when he needed to be a serious character, he was... Where, and it wasn't like oh, I'm dead serious now, like, but when a character needed to talk to him, he would talk to them. Like, yeah. It was weird, but it worked.
Yeah,
and I kind of like how all the characters had the same reaction that we're having when it happened. It was just like, so we're just talking then?
Yeah. Like the episode, like the Fight Club episode where, it was a little bit before that maybe, where Gamaguri sees them, he's in his fancy car outside of the school, and you find out that he's 21, so he has a driver's license, and
who here wants that car, by the way?
Yeah, and he just gives Ryuko and Mako a ride because they're outside of school, so he's not the disciplinary committee person, you know?
Yeah, so, that was surprising.
Yes, and he actually allies with them because the other clubs are trying to fight students on the outside of school, and it's Gamaguri's duty to protect those students outside of school. Great character.
I just wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, he's just an amazing... I mean, he's kind of up our alley, and, like, as far as Wicked Anime goes, like...
The manime type.
Yeah, how we're all like, oh, Kenshiro, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Well, Gamaguri, so, you know... He's added up in those ranks now, so...
All right, so let's talk about the two that we haven't spoken about yet. Ryoko and Satsuki.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. First, Ryoko was an awesome main character. And my reason to think that she's a great main character is because she was kind of cliche in the fact that, you know, she was a new student who didn't know anything. Therefore, people could... give her expositions to move the story along. But the other thing was, she was a complete and total badass who was not immune to being silly. You know, because like, whenever, you know, like, Mako would give her a hug or something like that, she would get that look on her face that was like, you know, kind of like a normal girl kind of feeling, but she could still beat somebody up. You know, it was kind of weird too, because she was no matter what happened to her previously, she always wanted to kick some ass. Like,
she it was her answer for everything.
Yeah, everything was always a fight, but she knew, especially when she met with Mako's family. That was when she was kind of just normal. Like, you knew she knew how to be normal.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way. She knew how to be normal, whereas these other main characters in anime are always just a one-dimensional character. And Ryuko's not. She's
yeah, for the kind of show that Kill la Kill is, that's actually kind of a good point. For the kind of show that Kill la Kill was and is, none of the characters, they all had other sides to them.
Mm. Yep.
Which was weird.
Yeah, which is also really interesting, the fact that the show itself kind of tricks you in almost a sense for the first 12 episodes, and then the second half of the series turns it all around on its head, which means you, like, really have to kind of stick with the idea that the one-note show kind of thing is going to go away, because you would never expect that.
Mm. Right. Well, I mean, and to other people I've described this show to, I often liken it to Gurren Lagann.
Mm-hmm.
And in so much that it's the first half of the show only sets it up for the second half.
Right. Like, yeah.
And it is. It is a perfect, to me, it's almost a perfect analogy to Gurren Lagann. In so much as what Gurren Lagann was to ridiculous mecha animes, this is to ridiculous magical girl animes. and it just took it and it turned the concept on its head and then just cranked it to 11.
Yeah. And that's what Hiroyuki Imachi is good at, because you know he also directed Gurren Lagann.
Right. So, I'm just saying, but like the parallels are definitely there.
Yeah, right. And that's kind of interesting. I wonder, you know, you got to kind of look at it, because I mean, even Panty and Stocking was kind of the same way, where it was kind of one note at the beginning, where it was just like, oh, haha, these are segments about, like, it's going to get really sexual, you know? and then it kind of turns around at the end, like, whereas, don't get me wrong, Panty and Stocking didn't change too much, not like the rest of these shows do, but it's almost like Hiroyuki Imachi makes a career out of making shows that are completely one-note tropes, and then turning them all around and making a fantastic finale.
Mm. Well, I really appreciate that, because he can take something that's a genre, which is what he did,
yep.
which is amazing, because you want to start with things that people recognize. That's how you get them in.
Yeah.
And then he takes them and he fills them out. He gives you all the little bits that you didn't have to like sustain the genre in and of itself. And he makes these characters much more worthwhile in the end than say just like let's be honest, Sailor Moon is not nearly as satisfying as Kill la Kill is, because you know the hero's going to win. You know they're going to fight and they're going to beat the bad guy and all that nonsense. But like, whereas in Kill la Kill, Ryoko lost as much as she won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And she definitely got her teeth kicked in on several occasions.
Yeah. So then maybe it would be a good time to switch over to the other, her parallel character, which was Satsuki.
Oh. Yeah. See, this was the character I loved.
Those eyebrows. Really, yeah.
She was a really interesting character from the beginning for me, just because they really did set her up to be a villain. I don't know. She just kind of felt that way the whole time. Eh?
Yeah.
You realize she's not a villain. She's just Batman.
But the thing of it is, it's true, because she never truly felt like she switched sides at the end, which is awesome. It's good, because that's how she was like legitimately brought up by her mother, was to always be so ruthless and evil.
Seven
and even
steps ahead of everyone.
Yeah, and yeah. Even spoilers, when she switches sides in the second half of the series, she still is pretty bad, you know? Like, not like she's a bad guy anymore, but like she doesn't necessarily want to be anybody's ally.
I mean, but that's just who she is. And that
she's
the
one woman.
I love how they stuck with their guns. She wasn't all immediately buddy buddy.
Yeah.
You know, everything she did was always for a reason and had a purpose, and that's what she was looking to do.
Right.
I mean, the Satsuki was fantastically written. They never deviated from her character in order to grow her.
Yeah.
Which is what you need to do.
Right. That being said, I do have to say that Satsuki was probably my least favorite character in the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not to say that, like, that she ruined the show for me or anything like that, because she didn't. She was, you know, a good villain for the time being. It's just that there were much better villains than her.
Well,
like,
that's the point, though. Yeah, that was my counter-argument. Yeah, is she wasn't actually the villain. She wasn't ever supposed to sustain that level of enmity throughout the entire series. And in fact, let's be honest, when she finally did switch sides, it was incredibly satisfying.
And out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, when you realize that, oh my god, they're all fighting on the same side. Oh my god! Yeah, you were doing that. You were fangirling the whole way through.
Sean, that's actually the exact thing that I did for episode 15, 15, 16, and 17. I was like, oh, surprise! Oh, surprise! Well, and then and it was kind of funny, because I think they kind of knew that all the viewers would need a buffer for what just happened, because it took me a few episodes to still kind of learn, like, oh, now who's on whose side? And they kind of slowly eased you into that over the course of two or three episodes after the whole switch.
Yeah. Yep.
But the best part about the whole switch thing is, from the first half of the series, it's not out of the realm of disbelief that they could join sides. You know, like the time that Ryuko fought the Elite Four for the first time so Ryuko could get to Satsuki to fight her finally. And then, like, those times outside of the school where, like, they were talking about, they had honorable fights and, like, you know, Gamaguri was protecting them when they were outside of school and things like that. it made you believe that they could be allies, you know, in that time. And then when they do become allies, it wasn't just like, whoa, 180 right there.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we're all allies now.
Well, in all fairness, I think, like, and even Satsuki was saying, she was testing Ryoko, like, to make sure that she could handle what was to come.
Right.
I've never thought about that that way.
Yeah, she said so in the series.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, her challenging Ryoko the whole time. She was always trying to find someone to help her take down her mother.
And there were several Ryoko people challenging.
And she's like, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was just fantastic. Not to mention, and because this word gets brought up on animes I watch, apparently, also the weird incesty relationship with her mother.
That was more of her mother's thing.
I'm just saying, that got weird.
The mother was like, well, because you have to think, like, how absolutely out of her mind their mother is.
Oh, my God, yes.
So it doesn't surprise you that, because her mother's one goal was the life fibers. And the fact that Satsuki was, you know, air quotes, on her side, makes it like, oh, look how loving of a mother I am now. Like, look how close I am, like, really close to I am to my daughter because she's on my side. And then as soon as that doesn't happen anymore, just loses control. And so, but because she still had that one goal of the life fibers are the most important thing ever.
Yeah. I just, oh my God, that woman was so creepy.
Yeah,
and the funny thing was, as a villain, Sasuke's mother was very good in the case that, or in the fact that her evil plan to take over the world was a very good one, and while being very ridiculous at the fact that all clothes are aliens. I mean, like, she had a step past destroying the Earth, you know, where, like, she would take over the Earth, turn everybody into life fibers, and then the life fibers would explode and take over the rest of the universe. You know, usually when it, like, in the James Bond villain kind of ways, where it's just like, oh, I'm going to take over the Earth. I don't know what to do after that. She has a step too.
She's not just going to go to, like, the Bahamas and chill for a while.
Right, yeah. See, but sit on her piles of money.
With her cat.
Yeah, and yet I still don't understand the whole, if you take over the world and kill everybody in it, then who are you ruling over?
Well, that's just it. She was just going to take over the whole universe. Like, after she destroyed the Earth, there were plenty of other planets that she could take the life fibers to and do the same thing over and over again.
You guys have been watching the new Cosmos. There are billions of universes that she can take over.
No, I just, and that was it, is all of these characters were just so good at what they were meant to do. I mean, again, he took the genre, and then he just made it better. He refined it.
It wasn't also just the genre. He also made a satire of the genre.
Yeah, obviously, that too.
Because obviously the clothing thing, that was a straight satire
of
everything. And especially because all the characters pointed it out. Like, Ryoko the whole time was like, are you serious? Like, I'm not wearing anything, you know? Like, and but that's when Sengetsu was just like, oh, you have to, you like, wear
me. You have to embrace
and,
the not wearing anything.
Yeah, like, embrace the shame, like, the shamelessness of it, you know? It was just so funny.
Yeah.
Which we totally neglected. I've been thinking about the whole time we were talking about these characters was Sengetsu.
Oh, yeah.
If you think about it, like, there's only one thing that I can think about talking about Sengetsu is that, like, he's definitely a support character. He's not really, like, a wisdom-esque character.
He's
kind of a weapon.
I felt like he was my best friend the whole time I was watching.
He was what I always refer to as, like, the voice in the head. Like, it was her and it was always Ryoko and that other voice, and that was Sengetsu. It was
her subconscious.
Yeah, like, I feel like he existed literally to be able to have dialogue in places where there wouldn't normally be dialogue. But that said, like, he still had character. Like, he still had, you know, it wasn't just a blank slate. It was, you know.
It's true, because that's actually true. Didn't mention that he was a character. Like, even though he's like a piece of clothing, but, like, I could emotionally connect with Sengetsu because there were a ton of times, like countless amounts of times in the series, where Ryuko just finally turned and was like, you know what, Senkenzu, I don't need you anymore. I don't want to wear you. I don't even want to look at you. And
you would feel
that for him, because if you think about it, he's a shirt. All he does is he just hangs there. He can't move on his own or anything like that. He's just stuck to hang there if Ryuko doesn't want him.
But the thing is, though, is whenever Ryuko would say stuff like that to him, he would feel bad like that. But he was her friend, and that's what he felt. The only person he had in the world was her, because nobody else could hear him.
Yeah.
So they were friends, and that's what he wanted, was thank you for being my friend.
Yeah. And in opposite to that, we should talk about, or I just want to mention real quick, Jungetsu, Satsuki's uniform, which... He is a really interesting case, because you never hear it speak.
No.
And you never knew its intentions. Was Jungetsu evil? Like, was he actually a bad life fiber?
Yeah.
Or was she built to be evil because of the mother?
I don't think he was built to be anything. I actually think that was the difference between Sengetsu and Jungetsu. Jungetsu was a tool. He was literally something designed for a specific purpose, which is why he didn't speak, and everybody treated him like an object.
Yeah.
Which is why he could switch wearers.
Yeah.
You know? And
but the thing of that is, though, that also, because I got to know Sengetsu, it also made me inadvertently pity Jungetsu too, because they were using it as a tool.
Yeah.
When the last time you see it and Ryuko rips off Jungetsu and Jungetsu's covered in blood and trying to crawl away, and then Satsuki throws the knives into him and sticks him to the boat and is like, you're not moving. Yeah. You know, I pitied him because it just wants to get away.
Yeah, it's not a good or a bad guy. It was being used.
And I think that even shows up in how they spoke of him, because when Jungetsu is used, it was life fiber synchronized. It was Ryoko and Sengetsu working together. Yep. When you use Jungetsu, it was life fiber override, which meant you were just taking over.
Yeah,
you were using. It was a difference of how they operated completely.
Now that we are analyzing that here on the show, that's never explained in the show. Like that's psychology of the show, which is crazy once you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I always took away from it was, you know, one was a tool and the other one was a friend, and that was the difference between the one side viewed the god robes and the other side viewed the god robes. You know.
So I think I know we didn't cover all the characters
actually,
because we just skipped over all of Nudist Beach because that was weird.
Yeah. Nudist Beach was funny to me because they were definitely comic relief in a way, because they weren't always funny, but they were definitely their comic relief.
DTR.
DTR. Well, it was funny because DTR, he didn't. It didn't mean anything.
No, it did. It had a meaning, but because they said it in that one episode, he's like, no, it's DTR, because he hated the name so much.
Yeah,
it's
Mohawk dude was like, yeah, he hates that name.
Yeah. But yeah, it was funny because they're definitely the comic relief in the end, because when in the final fight, when they jump up onto the ship and they're like, you forgot about us. And then the mother just punches
them. Well, it's like, you will fight our double DTR.
And no one cares.
I mean, they combine their DTRs together to make a double DTR. It's like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. But, what's his name? The teacher, the guy who was hidden as a teacher. The first time the glowing nipples thing happened cracked me up so much.
We saw a lot of those at Anime Boston.
Yeah, there were a lot of nudist speech at Anime Boston, and then a lot of him with people would just put LED lights on their nipples.
LED lights on their nipples.
I told you that was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. I really like the idea of Nudist Beach, and I like the idea that when people became allies, they kind of joined Nudist Beach, where the characters were just wearing the black
utility belts.
Very specifically placed utility belts.
Which leads into the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which was how they handled the fan service. Because technically it's not fan service because everybody got naked. Like, there was nobody who was hidden from this at all. Everybody got naked at one point, therefore it's okay.
Which kind of reminded me, again, of the ending to Dororon Enmankun, because that show ends with, like, the biggest nudie fest, like, ever imaginable.
Well, Gonagai.
Yeah, yes, Gonagai. But
you see, the thing is, too, when they release TV things onto DVD, they usually uncensor them. You know, they have specific censors for TV. They either put a character in the way or an extra drawing in the way, or they even just use the infamous, like, appearing black shadow or white beam.
Or white light beam.
This show, like, whenever they had the purple glowing on the nipple and the crotch areas, those were actually there. Like, that...
It was part of that character.
Yes. Yeah, so when they release Kill la Kill on DVD, it's gonna be exactly the same. Like, I still think there's gonna be, like, no nudity in it.
The only thing that's gonna change, there was one part where they censored it, and it was when Nui got her arms cut off.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
So like, for the show, there was no specific, like, time where it's like, oh, they're gonna change that later, and on when they release it on Blu-ray, it's gonna have nudity in it.
Yeah, there were plenty of times where you see characters in full nudity with no lights or anything like that. They just didn't have any, like, details drawn on them.
Yeah, no nipples, no genitalia.
Yeah,
because it wasn't about the nudity. It was like that was just like a side effect of the story.
But technically,
it was, though. I mean, like, it was about the nudity because it's all about not wearing clothing. Like, that's what the, like,
right,
when you break
about,
down.
It was about not wearing clothing. It wasn't about being naked.
Yeah, like it wasn't fan service. Like, you know, like, her shirt's off. Like,
it wasn't inherently sexual. It was literally about the clothing.
Yeah, like, because the clothing was the enemy, so you don't wear clothing because that's the enemy. Yeah.
However, in the beginning, though, there was a lot of fan service for Ryuko, especially in the No Late Day episode where you know, you couldn't be late for school, so, like, the Elite Four set up traps to get to the school, and Ryuko didn't have Sengetsu because Mako's mom was washing it, so she ran to the school in her pajamas. There were a lot of times where she just got her pants pulled down for no reason.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You can't have a magical girl anime without fan service.
But that also, it was so obvious because it happened every single time. Like, she got pants pulled down. That was, again, part of the satire that they created.
Absolutely. And especially in, like, the first episode, the first time Mako gets captured, she's hung upside down, yet her skirt is pulled up in the middle so you can't see her panties.
Yeah.
You know, they might actually change that in the Blu-ray DVD. They might hang things lower. Who knows? But I hope they don't because I thought they kept it classy and I really appreciated
it. And
that
was what I liked about it.
It was classy the whole way through. That's what I was just about to say. Like, who's with me on that? Like, no uncensoring of what they showed on TV because it was so nice that whenever they uncensor things to on the Blu-ray, you're like kind of like, oh, great. It just took a step backwards for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's just it is, again, it wasn't sexual in nature. It was about the story. And that was, to me, the important part of it.
Yeah. Which is
fantastic. Parts of it were sexual. Usually the stuff involving Satsuki.
Well, let me ask you guys something. Do you know the meaning behind the title of the show, Kill la Kill? Do you know what it actually is a pun on, right?
I thought about that probably right before I watched the last episode, and I don't think I do.
Well, the thing is, when you spell out kill in Japanese, you know, the English version, it's Kiru. And Kiru in Japanese, it means fabric or clothing. So the title of the show is really Kill the Clothing.
Huh.
Oh.
That's really interesting, man. I had no idea.
They could just call it Kill the Clothing, though, so.
I have it right here, the meaning. For Kill la Kill, in Japanese, Kiru can mean cut, and it can also mean wear. So, like, kill the wear.
Or where to kill.
Or where the cut.
Or cut the wear.
Cut the wear.
It works on, like, different levels.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, clothing the cut.
Yeah, basically all it means is kill is something to do with clothing because Japanese.
Yep. Yeah. So what was everybody's favorite part?
Like, overall, just, like, the moment in the series that was, like, the best? Oh, that's a really good question.
That's a tough one because there's, like, specific pieces of the series that kind of were just like, ooh, that was great. Ooh, that was great. I liked how they did that.
Honestly, episode 15 is a huge moment in my in my love of the show where everybody just, like, when Satsuki switches sides, I was just like, because, again, it was that moment where you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. She
my jaw did like drop 17. Or 17. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It would have to be 17 then, because episode 17 is the episode where you find out where, spoilers, Ryuko and Satsuki.
Now you're getting spoiled.
Ryuko and Satsuki are sisters.
Yes. Like, that all of that, that whole episode, you're just jaw dropped on the floor. It never got
I had
up.
Assumed that from the very beginning of the series, though.
Well, I had assumed, I had thoughts about that, but, like, it's the confirmation. Like, this show was all about delivering on the things that it sets up. It wasn't about the surprise, it was about the finishing the motion.
You know, it's funny because when we talk about what our favorite moment was, I guess that kind of correlates with the thing of, like, what was our favorite episode because of what happens in them. However, there was one part that I really pulled at my heartstrings, which was the part where Ryuko gets her mind taken over by Jungetsu when they force her to, like, when Nui and Sasuke's mother force her to put on Jungetsu and, like, she sees her life as if it were normal. Like, where you see her grow up with her mom and see her in preschool.
That was messed up.
Yeah, go to middle school and then get married. And that's what, you know, what changes, has her change sides for the moment. But the interesting thing was when Mako wears Jungetsu and jumps into Ryuko's being, and she's still in the wedding dress. So, like, is not the one who's fighting everybody. Ryuko is the bride standing at the altar there. So she's stuck in this reality that, like, has changed her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So therefore, like, that's what created a successful villain in that moment for you. Because it could have just been like, oh, she switched sides because of evil, and now she's back. But, like, they actually gave meaning to it by literally changing her memories.
I liked, I was a very big fan, and this is probably the Tokusatsu fan of me. Like, every time the Elite Four got a new set of armor.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh my God. They just kept getting cooler and cooler, because they went from, like, ridiculous over-the-top grandiose, and then they just kept, like, stripping it down to, like, the essentials. And I just thought it was funny, because usually it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. And, like, the ones at the end were just fantastic, because they were just as little clothing as possible that still conveyed the message.
Right.
Yes.
Oh. I agree. Yeah.
Agree.
Because they all got, like, at the end in that final episode when there were, or not final, it was a couple episodes before, they all had, you know, Sengetsu, Jengetsu style clothing, mm-hmm. where they, you know, were missing the midriff portion of their costume or something like that. And that was awesome. Like, that was, because they all had, you know, oh, if they were to wear Sengetsu, like, this is what they would look like, kind of a thing.
Mm.
So we covered a lot to do with the show. Let's discuss the ending. Like, how it ended. Was it a successful ending? The fact that there almost can't be a second season. It legitimately ended the show. It's over.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I'm going to go straight to my favorite part, which was the credits. And Gamagori holding the tiny flowers for Mako. Because he's, like, the whole time they were kind of building up to that. And then they just had, like, this cute little suggestion that he's about to ask Mako out. I thought that was hilarious how they did that.
I think it closed it well. I think it did it. I think it did what I love in stories that happens so rarely nowadays in the world of franchises and, you know, all that nonsense, where it did finish it.
Yeah.
It said, no, we're done. You know,
thank goodness, because... story. Again, a Western style of writing.
Yeah.
Almost.
Well, I mean, even in Western stuff nowadays, that happens less and less. Everybody loves to leave things open. You know, they want more. You know,
franchise that, yo.
Yeah, exactly. And this was, I told the story. I'm finished.
Trilogies everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and if you notice, that's kind of what Studio Trigger's been doing. Studio Trigger has constantly been making material, like, and jumping from just the one project to the next project to the next, like. Inferno Cop was over. They are making a season 2, which is amazing, but it was over. You really didn't have to continue that if you didn't. I mean, it was Inferno Cop. Little Witch Academia, you know, they made that short little movie, and then people were interested in seeing another one, so they were like, well, I guess...
Fans paid for a second.
Yeah. They're like, well, I guess we have to make another one now. And then they went and made Kill la Kill, did their Kill la Kill thing, and now they're probably going to go make a new series, you know? Yep. I can't wait to see what they do next.
They are doing Ino Battle wa Nichijo Keino Nakade, which means Ino Battle in the Usually Days.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, they have only announced that Trigger is the one that's animating it and doing everything to produce it. They haven't announced who's going to be, you know, the script writer or the director.
Ooh, the art has already got me on board.
You did just remind me a minute ago of what my favorite moment was, which was when Mako was over, what was the big guy's name again?
Kamaguri.
Yeah,
Kamaguri. And he was... you thought to be dead or extremely hurt, and she started tearing up, and then all of a sudden her eyes became like faucets.
I
laughed pretty hard at that. It almost reminded me of like a SpongeBob type gag.
Yeah. Well, and it was kind of, it's kind of funny because, you know, yeah, okay, if he really was going to die, they would have made it sadder. Mm-hmm. But of course Mako's a comic relief character and they made her do that.
Yeah.
You know he's not dead.
It was just so sincere, and she actually just like regular teared up, and then all of a sudden water just started pouring straight out of both of her eyes.
Yeah, it was like,
it wouldn't be Mako otherwise.
Mako's like, I'm not quite dead yet.
Yeah, I thought, the way they just finished it was good. You know, the villain is dead, world is safe, school, the academy is gone.
What's up with school? Like, what's going on?
Well,
home school.
And then Ryoko and Mako go on a date. Hooray!
Well, a date. It was a girl's day out. Like, she just said date because she's the epitome of hyperbole.
That's a Brian Regan album.
That was a Brian Regan album.
Everybody go buy it. Brian Regan's great.
But one of the amazing things that they did with the show was the entire time, from episode 1 to episode 24, you were only in that little mountain town with the school at the top, and then all of a sudden, the school is gone, and here's the rest of the world.
Yeah, and they're looking. They're in Tokyo Center, and you know they're going shopping and stuff like that.
Like, I mean, and they pointed out, like, especially when the life fibers started to take over the world at the end of the show too, when everybody was getting absorbed into the life fibers. They showed you that there were other places around the world, but beforehand, you really didn't know. You really had no idea that anything else existed, because everything took place on that little mountain island with the school at the top, and then you know, once it's gone, well, there's the rest of the world. They're out in it, you know. It's interesting. I don't know, but yeah, that was kind of funny too, because after the show was over, with the credits thing, they were like, oh yeah, and now they're just normal girls. Like even Satsuki, like
yeah, cut her
like,
hair and everything.
Yeah,
like
cut
that.
Her hair, going clothes shopping.
And she was so cute with the hair cut off. And
see, well, I have a thing for girls with short hair anyway, so that made it 100% better anyway. But
she reminded me of Akane from Ramen One Half.
Yes,
a little bit.
But you know, it shows them being normal. They, having ice cream.
They lost their badass edge.
Yeah.
None of them were like mean or anything like that anymore. They were just like normal girls.
the Elite Four, as we were talking about before, you know, Gamaguri has a little flowers for Mako. They're stalking them, like almost like they're, oh, here's the other friends group preparing to help their friend help these or join up with these friends, kind of a thing.
It could as well just play the Friendship is Magic theme song during the end credits. It'd be the same thing.
it was a very friendship ending, like the friendship is everything, kind of. That's kind of what the whole show was, though.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
Overall, in looking back on the entire show, when you started out, it's kind of the same way that Full Metal Alchemist did what it did, where you look back at the beginning of the show and you're just like, wow, I really didn't know a lot from what I knew now. Like, it got so, like, intense with all the amount of information that you needed to know, where, like, now there's all these factions and there's all these plot points and there's new bad guys and things like that. Where at the beginning of the show, it was just a girl looking for a second half of a pair of scissors.
Fantastic. All right. Everybody should watch it.
Goodbye. Yeah, absolutely. If you still decide to listen to this episode and you haven't watched it yet, it's all free on Crunchyroll. Go watch it for sure, because Kill la Kill is amazing. Anything that Studio Trigger makes, I am on board with.
Agreed.
Yeah, everybody go watch Inferno Cop.
We'll put all Studio Trigger stuff down in the description for you to watch.
I hadn't watched it for a long time. I actually just finished it yesterday prior to this recording, and I had about 10 episodes to go. And those 10 episodes went by really easily. Like, it's a very easy show to watch right through. It's a good marathon show.
And I know that Aniplex of America, they have licensed it for American distribution. They're going to be paying for... They're going to be releasing the $70 Blu-ray DVDs. You know what's sad? I'm actually contemplating buying those Blu-ray DVDs. That's how much I loved this show.
Oh, yeah, I'll buy it. And with Aniplex, I'm still waiting for Ori Emo Season 2 to come out, so I want to get that one.
Now, let's get back on to regular Wicked Anime track, and we're going to move on to some fan service. We've had quite a bit build up over the past couple...
Yeah, because we were at conventions.
Yeah, we'll move through them pretty quickly, though. We have a couple things...
Oh, boy.
We got some Tamagotchi suggestions. We got things that we learned from cons. We have somebody who asked us Tumblr questions, and we got people who asked us what we're watching for the spring season of anime. Let's start with that one real quick.
Okay.
Matt has asked us what we will be watching for this new spring season of anime. My four are JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Episode one has already been out and watched, and it is amazing. Go watch it. Second one is Keroro, which is the which is a short series flash animation from Keroro Gunzo or Sergeant Frog. It's a 3-minute short one.
Is that licensed anywhere yet? Because I really wanted to see that one.
I don't think so. The other one that was really suggested to me was Captain Earth, which is a mecha anime. Somebody only posted one picture of it, and it was like a Gundam with big O arms as the robot.
So it's not Japan's equivalent to Captain Planet. Good.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Unless it is. That would be kind of cool if it was like that giant robot. No littering!
I'm getting nothing but Captain Planet images when I Googled it, though.
No, same here.
And, oh, geez, what was the other one? Soul Eater Knot.
Oh, yeah.
Soul Eater Knot is coming out, and I will definitely be watching that. It's made by, you know, same people who did Soul Eater. It's about three freshmen who just joined the academy. One of them's a weapon, and two of them are Meisters, and the weapon needs to figure out which one she wants her to be the Meister of. It's really cute, and I've read the manga for it as far as I could possibly get, and I totally want to watch it.
Yeah.
Anybody else? You going to be watching that one, Sean?
Now that I know about it, probably. No. I'm going back through Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood right now.
Oh, good. Because we're probably going to do another homework on that. Yeah, we're probably going to do homework on Brotherhood.
Oh, okay. Let me know.
Oh, cool. So Captain Earth is made by, or produced by Bones, right?
Yes.
That's what it says here.
So...
Game of Thrones.
Next up in fan service. Okay, we're really, really sorry about this one coming up. It's from our fan from Iceland. His name is Aitpor, it could also be pronounced Aitor. I'm really sorry if I pronounced it wrong, but you had some really awesome stuff that you wanted to share with us. please email us back and let us know how we pronounce it, just in case you want to. So he comes to us. He messaged us on Facebook. He said, "Hello, longtime listener here and a huge fan. I'm writing a tiny suggestion for a segment on your show, we've touched on it a little bit, which was bad endings. But he wants us to work on WTF endings, like WTF just happened, is what he titled it, which is completely different. That is very, very different from a bad ending, where you could, like, it's almost like when you're watching Evangelion. Evangelion doesn't have a bad ending, but what just happened? It's kind of like that.
Martial Hearts was a good WTF.
Yeah, Martial Hearts was... We should probably save all these for... So he wants to do... He says that he thinks it would be a fun topic for us, and I agreed with him. I let him know that we would add it to the library, so we should probably work on that. For a good topic.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah, that'll be a good topic. Thank you, man. Oh, yeah, and he also says he doesn't know how to... He didn't know how to end the message, so okay, bye. All right. Now comes from Gerardo.
Good old Gerardo.
Yep, Gerardo. He sent us a list of things that he has learned from conventions.
Don't rely on your cell phone. There could be tens of thousands of people in your convention, all of them trying to make calls at different times, which means bad reception. Plan with your friends to meet at panels or certain areas just in case you get separated. That happened to us quite a few times at Anime Boston this
year. Yeah, every time.
Even the meetup spots didn't happen sometimes.
I know. It was like, we'll meet up in the dealer's room. Okay, what part of the dealer's room?
Yeah, where are you guys? Oh, we left. We'll just meet you at the room tonight when we're done. Okay. Money is your friend. It's always good to carry money on you, even if you don't plan on using it. If you have a habit of spending too much, leave some in your hotel and only take certain amounts. While vendors do have apps on their phones to take your credit card, they're not 100% reliable, as I have explained. Which he did.
Yeah, and at Anime Boston, that's 100% true, because they keep them in a cement box.
Yeah.
So no signals get out.
MegaCon does the same thing, too. There's no signal at MegaCon, because you're basically in a giant cement hallway. Basically how jail is put together. Did you make it to MegaCon this year, Sean?
No, I didn't. I think I'm going to be going to Gen Con later this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so nice. I've been taking care of some other stuff, and I'm looking to switch jobs here shortly. So I didn't go to MegaCon.
Number three, don't be afraid to go on your own. While hanging out with your friends can increase the enjoyment of convention, venturing on your own can be equally enjoyable. No one slow you down and everything like that.
No witnesses.
Which leads into his next one, be social with random people.
That's kind of why you're there.
I don't know. We weren't very social with random people, except for the people who came to our panel. That's when we became randomly social.
Use the buddy system while waiting in line. There are some good people that will hold your place in line, even though that's not really ethical in my case. But like going to take a picture or a restroom, that's usually okay with people.
Yep. Kind of like what we did for the anti-dubbings, filing for 42 Believer and her friend.
Be curious to all cosplayers. While some people are not cosplaying amazing to the eye, their stories behind their costumes typically are amazing, which is very true if you go back to our episode where we talk about cosplay from last con season. Make sure you don't leave a hotel a mess. That is just common practice. And keep a quiet environment while in your hotel room, which we always have a problem with, it seems. But we never gotten in trouble so far, so that's good.
We always get
Thank you, Gerardo. Yep. And then Kyle sends us another con survival tip, and he says, get a flu shot several weeks in advance. Now, okay, that's a good suggestion. Granted, I have never gotten a flu shot ever, and I've never had the flu. I understand that con plague is a huge thing, but I don't like needles, so I'm not going to voluntarily go get one.
I think I interpreted this one differently than you. He got a flu shot too close to a con, and he got sick because of it.
Oh. Ooh. That's another... That could be another thing entirely, but that's also a good point.
Yeah, also
just saying.
I mean, I didn't get the flu, but I got food poisoning at a convention once. It was definitely on a Sunday. So I was asleep in the booth, just... Dead to the world.
And then finally, we had a new Tumblr ask from
Anonymous,
which we have answered on our Facebook and will be posting soon, which is, what's everyone's favorite misconception about Westerners that anime has presented to them?
And yeah, we me and you both said the cowboy hat, totin', blonde, blue eyes, like, what's up? With always the southern accent.
Women always seem to be wearing American flag bikinis.
Yeah.
We have big noses.
Mine would be that an American would know Japanese.
Mine was fat people and fat cowboys.
I'm curious, what anime have you seen that has a fat... Because every single anime that I've seen, there's never been a fat...
I don't remember
Western
off the top of
Kill
my head.
Kill had an American high school team. They were all like buff football players.
Yeah. Well, and that's usually what the in anime, at least. Yes, because there's a lot of like European Americans. They're always fat. Mm. But Japanese Americans are usually always blonde hair, blue eye, like
Ghost
like
in the Shell had a few Americans show up, and they were fat.
Yeah, the only person that only people I can think of are Bob from Tekken, who he intentionally made himself fat to make himself fight better, yeah, and Rufus from Street Fighter,
who is just fat.
Who's just really fat.
Yeah. Was that it?
That's all for fan service. So it's time to move on to some shameless plugs.
Okay, guys, if you have done your homework and have been good cherubs, you all get A's.
Wicked A's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would like to hear something that maybe we didn't discuss that you would have liked. Ask any of us. We'll give you an answer of what we thought of whatever you want to know. Because we covered a lot, but we didn't cover everything.
Yeah. Just tell us what you thought about Kill la Kill, too.
Yes, please. Email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. It's all one word. You can also ask us on facebook.com. You can talk to us on tumblr.com, which is managed by Victoria, and us. We contribute. Of course, you can find all the rest of our content. If you're not listening to this podcast on Nerdy Show, you can find it on iTunes. You can find our videos on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. As well as nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. Yeah, absolutely. And that should be everything. Evan, do you want to give us some plugs for Boston Bass Brigade?
All right. For the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bass Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you are in a band and want to be featured on No Borders Race, or if you have questions for our friend Sawa Sensei for our Nazo Nazo Nyango, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbassbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and on Facebook at facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Ash, including The Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and The Issues Program. We are going to be at PAX East this coming weekend, which might be last weekend, depending on when this show is going to be airing.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to our show.
We do actually have a song this week on the very, very rare occurrence that I know to remember to tell everybody. The song, obviously, is going to be the first opening to Kill Kill, because that song is amazeball. All right, guys. So we can, I guess we're going to sign off the only way we know how.
We used to talk about Kamen Rider on this show.
On occasion, yeah. I haven't watched the new season because it's all fruit-based, and I think it's weird.
Wait, it's fruit-based?
Yeah, all the armor and all the different riders are, like, fruits.
Do they get, like, they carry an orange and then they squeeze it and transform or something?
No, actually, they have the orange, it goes into their belt, and then they press this thing on the belt, and this little blade chops it open, and then a portal opens from above, and an armored orange falls out of the sky, drops on him, and comes down and, like, unwraps to be his armor.
If they don't have some sort of Starburst Skittles crossover, then their marketing people aren't doing their jobs.
Well, they also have, like, this weird Digimon thing going on in it. I'm just like, oh, you need back to fighting aliens. I want to fight aliens.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com, support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Sponsorships. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.